For folks who don't know, the Free State Project is a movement of voluntary human action where we are trying to concentrate libertarians in the state of New Hampshire.
The Free State Project, again, it's 1% of the Free State movement.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, libertarians and anarchists, movers, natives, and those on your way, thanks for tuning into another episode of Free State Live, where you get to hear about all the different ways you can live free and thrive in the Free State of New Hampshire. First and foremost, getting the gang back together. As always, I'm Justin O'Donnell, former candidate for U.S. Senate here in New Hampshire. And joining me, we have our perennial candidate extraordinaire and everyone's favorite, Queen Quill, Carla Garrick. How are you, Carla?
How much do I have to pay you to take perennial candidate out of my bio? Or is it because I told you that it irks me that it is now front and center?
Well, I mean, if I can manifest it, you'll start running for city council too. That way it really will be every year.
You guys forget my disastrous school board race that one time.
Speaking of school boards.
Yeah, right.
Topic of tonight's episodes is Croydon and the disaster with the school budgeting and how the unions can turn up with bottomless piles of money to rally people who normally don't care into undoing good things, but, you know, maybe finally getting people involved in their local politics.
So, yeah, I mean, I think there are lessons to be learned here all around.
So, for those of you wondering, Kevin will be joining us at some point. He says, he's just getting a little bit late, but we're going to not make you wait for him, and we're just going to get things rolling. And again, tonight we got a twofer for you, episodes 5 and 6 of Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of New Hampshire, The Struggle of Croydon. Let me get everything. Great start.
I really became interested in the question, what is the proper relationship between a citizen and a government? It all started from owning a gun. And once you start asking that question, you see that there are a lot of different answers. These are the questions that I thought we need to talk about. Why do we publicly fund education? Nobody's asking those questions.
I had a visceral, physical reaction. It was traumatic, to say the least. My heart was racing. I felt sick to my stomach. The Free Staters are trying to slash the budget so that we won't have the money to pay for our kids to go to school.
Maybe. I mean, not so you won't have your kids to be able to go to school, but so that your kids can get a better education.
Yeah, you know, it's very dramatic, of course, to catch everyone's eye at the start. So it sounds sinister, but you know, all of this happened in broad daylight at actual town meetings.
I said, I think going forward, we should be honest and not use the word budget to refer to what's really a ransom. And in the future, they should just call it a ransom.
They are people who have come here to New Hampshire to try and take over.
They are people. I don't know. I'm pretty sure I was taught that that's not how you talk about people.
I mean, I'd like to say we came to take over, but like it wasn't to take over. I mean, it was already pretty, we can't reiterate enough that the reason the Free State Project chose New Hampshire was because it was already great.
Oh, very true.
So, besides, Kevin was already here.
A lot of us were, yeah. It was a good fit.
We were living outside the Philadelphia area. We read about the Free State Project. We liked the idea of having a lot of libertarians move to one place to actually show people what it could be like to live in a libertarian world. We moved up September 2007.
We needed to have a place that would be a lot of land. Off-grid, you've got that separation from the world. But not so far out that it's impossible to do anything, and we found Croydon.
And I will say,
this feels like the end of the world.
Off the grid, that they had a snowstorm in 2008. I think someone had posted Super Secret Project, the song. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. It should be the Free State Project anthem. It's fantastic. I know every word. I researched every lyric. It's a fantastic song. And they talk about the ice storm of 08, and we were without power for 11 straight days. We actually were. Bardo Farm was not. And I only knew they were that off the grid when I went to visit. And I was like, dudes, that this ice storm. And they're like, what? And they were like, oh, we didn't even know the power had been out because they were used to it.
Oh, yeah. That's the best situation, really.
My issues are guns and education. What I'm trying to get people to see is how closely related those are. Those are your two tools to keep yourself free, are education and arms. You should take them as seriously as each other, and you should treat them the same way, which is basically not to let the people that you're supposed to use them against control them. I give free gun safety lessons to people. We sit down, I take a gun apart, show people this is how they work. If you know how they work, you can be safe around them. We take them out, I get them to where they can hit a paper plate from 20 feet. My goal is to have people come over and practice because I want everybody to know what they're doing. I'm just going to load.
I love the line, like, the purpose is to not let the people that you're supposed to use them against control them. And well, that can be seen maybe as threatening when it comes to guns. Like, if you see that as threatening when it comes to education, that's a whole bigger issue that we're trying to address. And it's funny, I saw on my Facebook memories today sharing a Peanuts comic strip from years ago where it just says, nobody's going to give you the education you need to overthrow them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the- yeah. And I think 100, I mean, probably what he means in that scenario is exactly that. Like, you know, like it's written in the Constitution, is like, that's the intention or the idea behind some of these things, is they're looking at authoritarian government, they're looking at a monarchy or a totalitarian system, and that type of thing. You also have to remember when, like, Thomas Paine printing a paper, or somebody doing something even so subtle as using a printing press, you know, these ideas are fairly revolutionary and new in the span of human history. So it is something where you should be mindful of education and intelligence and, you know, what you're consuming, even if it's a bad thing that you're consuming, like you're on TikTok or Twitter too much, you know, be mindful of that thing. And the same way you should be mindful and respectful of firearms and the safety and those, what goes into that, or, you know, how you treat them. Not revolution.
I was one of those people who was really afraid of guns. I grew up in New York City, so until the first time I handled a gun, I was shaking. And then I was fine.
My name's Angie Bolio. I grew up in Croydon. I attended Croydon Village School. I have two children with my husband, four children collectively, who have all attended Croydon Village School. I was on the school board for 8 years. Croydon Village School houses kindergarten through fourth grade, and that's our only school. So after that, we tuition out our fifth through 12th grade students.
And that's not an uncommon thing in rural New Hampshire.
Yeah, in any rural state, that's a very common thing where you centralize based on age or how it works, for sure.
And for folks looking, that is a actual one room schoolhouse that has that space. So what you're seeing is real. It's amazing that even still exists. And actually, up in that area, the school boards actually work across state lines as well. I remember doing a literary festival up in the Hanover area, and we actually worked with people from Vermont as well. So you see a bit of that cross border.
Oh yeah, you'll see it for sure. If it just simply makes sense, even geographically, those are Maine and New Hampshire and some of those areas, or if you're really familiar with parts of Maine that is like township 230, because there's just eight people live in a 400 mile radius. It's like, what do you even do with something like that? But which of these, and I'm ill prepared. This is my least prepared episode. I literally got here late. I just came from like a Pork Fest mom and dad meeting. I didn't rewatch the episode. I didn't take my notes. Which of these two ladies is the one that's also a teacher in the district and has her salary based on which town they use the income from? I forget. Do you guys remember? One of these ladies is definitely like the more money that the parents pay or the taxpayer pays, she benefits.
She brings it up.
Yeah. I just couldn't remember which one it was. I also wanted to get that jab in there, because if I could vote on my own salary, of course I'd want more money for you, Dom.
Yeah, funny how that works, right?
Uh-huh. They didn't mention that, but I did.
Amanda Leslie, I have lived here in Croydon since 2001. My husband, Tom, is a Croydon native. He grew up here and has lived here his whole life, other than a few years here and there. I'm an English teacher at Kearsarge Regional High School. And have been a teacher since 2003, although I took some time off to stay home when my two daughters, who are now 14 and 16, were really young. I have attended the annual town and school district meeting regularly for the last 20 plus years, and I didn't...
I mean, you're voting on your salary every year. I'd go too.
It's certainly somebody who mentions in a documentary about a budget that they didn't like, that they also directly benefit from it. And the irony here is, of course, that like they come out of this increasing the budget. You must be laughing with such glee. I understand it, but I believe she also does admit too, well, maybe the budget was over by a few hundred thousand dollars. It's like,
right. At some point, gymnastics, she does say,
I don't know.
We could have cut a lot, but we didn't.
I wish I had my notes, because I have like four pages on these two episodes. I used to work with kids and in education. I've seen how the sausage is made. It's kind of like this.
Well, it's just as simple as it's a conflict of interest and it needs to be pointed out, in the same way as when we did the interviews with NBC and they asked every single Free Stater, have you ever taken a government benefit?
Yep.
But they did not ask every single statist who was actually on the government dole whether they had a conflict of interest and received money as a school teacher or an administrator or whatever. So, you know, this is the issue that ordinary people can understand. It's like, it's not really fair that you get to actually vote on your own salary.
Yeah. Well, at least she's not a literal Karen this time.
That poor lady.
I didn't really expect anything out of the ordinary at this year's. In fact, I expected it to be really quick and painless, because there was only one item, one warrant article, which was the budget.
I'm chair of the school board. I did my presentation of a $1.7 million budget that, to be honest, I did vote for it, but I wasn't happy with it because it showed a 30% increase over the last few years. And even though I wanted it to be lower, I didn't know how to make it lower. But I was still frustrated by it. And Ian, my husband, made a motion on the floor.
I wasn't shocked when Ian stood up, because Ian has a lot to say all the time and throws ideas out of left field fairly often.
Yeah, because he's genius who likes to think outside the box and like be like, what about this? And then you're like, man, what about that?
Furthermore, I just love the immediate contradiction there, where she says, I wasn't expecting anything to happen. Yeah. I wanted it to be painless and nothing was going to happen. But Ian Underwood always does this stuff.
Yep. What you see there is like anger and rage at somebody masked in a passive aggressive way of frame. And you can hear it in the tone and the voice and that thing of like, well, you know, it was just going to be another easy day except for this guy again. And it's kind of that, like, it's so that type of cadence and that type of delivery to me is almost just from a sitcom. It's so just tired. I don't know. I'm tired of these.
I believe what Confucius said was true. He said that the first step towards wisdom is to call things by their right names. Because if you call them by the wrong names, you don't literally know what you're talking about. And I said, I think going forward, we should be honest and not use the word budget to refer to what's really a ransom. And in the future, they should just call it a ransom.
A budget is something you basically know what your income is and you know what you need to spend. And a ransom is, I tell you that I want this amount of money from you. And if you don't give it to me, I'm going to hurt you in some way.
Rather than say, what can I cut, you have to say, what do I need? We should say, this is your budget. This is what we can afford. This is what we feel comfortable paying. Make it work.
And that's how every private business, nonprofit, anything else in the world works.
Yep.
Yeah, I tried to run my household budget like the state just for 6 months to see what my husband thinks about this approach to shit. And I will tell you, it doesn't work that way.
No, it does not. It's amazing. I tried too. The bank, they weren't thrilled. They were real pissed, actually.
No, I was like, man, I want a printing press too.
Had a pamphlet that some people had. The pamphlet was in a box at the entrance to the town hall.
Ian's proposal was that we not cut the budget, but start again. We got to do something different.
Who is in control here? Is it this small group of professional spenders? Or is it the people whose money is being taken?
I was at the meeting. I'm the school clerk, so I was taking minutes. So I was sitting at the...
She's not even a teacher.
Give me 10 minutes. See, also, I had something on her, too.
It also involved, and of course people should be involved. That's how we want to solve these things, right? But I love the term professional spender. I'm pretty sure there's some kind of jazzy song with those words, so maybe I'll go learn those. Hey, big spender, right?
Yeah, there you go.
I love that there is a pamphlet, because we know pamphlets are inherently revolutionary. And when they say things like, oh, this came out of left field and we had no idea and whatever, Ian had actually proposed this the year before in passing, but there are minutes on it where it was discussed at some meeting. And two, everyone's like, it's so secret and it's so like clandestine. And it's like, yeah, because we like printed it up and gave it to everyone to read. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Freely disseminated information that you can print with like your printer in your living room.
Exactly.
I just want to at some point come back to figuring out why a school with 80 students and one teacher needs a clerk.
And needs $1.8 million.
Yeah, I mean, a part of it is how
meeting with the school board,
too,
so recording minutes. So, okay. Yeah, I watched it all unfold.
My husband, he says, you know, we have private schools in the area that charge less than $9,000 per kid, and they can educate the kids, so why can't we do it for 10? I'm going to propose $10,000 per student, coming to a total of $800,000. So that reduced that original budget by 54%.
I just thought it was crazy. You know, there was no way that we can operate our school and tuition all of our kids for
$800,000. If you did that, you'd have to fire the clerk. If you did that, you'd have to fire the clerk. What would you do without her? Jeez, who would teach the kids without the clerk? I can't even envision a system in which you could teach a kid anything without a clerk.
Well, also just, you know, to reemphasize, we are literally talking about cutting a budget by 54%, which still gives it 10% more than the private school in the same area. So, you know, it's like, excuse me? Do they not have clerks at Montessori? Or like, what's up there?
Even I think, like, and a big part of the budget adjustment for a town like Croydon has to be like the busing, right? It's not worth building a high school in your area, so you're going to incur a huge transportation cost in getting that group of kids when they get to ninth grade to the high school that's in the area. So again, to be building a budget out, going, well, you know,
where do school buses come from? Does anyone know what the actual history is there?
Oh, I have no
idea. Is it from like segregation? Like that would be interesting. So here's like how my mind works. I'm like, there's probably like some history there where it was some dude and he had a contract and they were like, man, we got to control the buses because then we could control the people. And now we just assume and accept that there are these yellow commie buses racing around.
Making
it really hard for anyone else to drive on the road. And it makes no sense to me. And half the budgets actually have to do with how do we move people from point A to point B?
Yeah, the trick really is like if you build the budget out in that strategy, if you were benefiting from the system, you'd want every student, even elementary school students, measured against the highest cost you could find, which would be a bused kid to, say, Newport, New Hampshire, which I believe is the town that they're bused to, which runs at like $18,000 per kid. It's a really wealthy area, super high property taxes. Croydon does not have those things. But if your salary or you benefit from some way, you would use the town with the highest number, not the $9,000 Croydon number. And you would certainly apply that from your elementary through your high school students, not just your high school students that are bussed out of district. And I think what ends up happening with that, and a part of the in the strategy of the Underwoods, was looking at it from that sense, which is, well, here are the outcomes we need to get. How do we achieve those outcomes? As opposed to saying, we need $2 million. And all kids are this way, but you don't bust the elementary kid. There's definitely a lot of things in this budget that need to be fixed. I don't know that they're going to go back and do that, but this is a great example of like,
well, you I just want to know who's going to research the history of busing.
Yeah.
Well, already done more.
Oh, look at Justin's been doing buses this whole time.
The question in front of a libertarian audience is they got to educate you.
Yeah.
And Olga already here got we go. The answer. The history of the school bus can be traced far back as 1886, when the Wayne Works Company made horse-drawn carriages known as school hacks or kid hacks in Indiana. Before them, children simply walked or rode farm wagons to get to school.
There you go.
I had to walk to school. Damn it.
Yeah. It's 1886. My first thought was like, oh, I wonder what child labor law they were violating by moving your kids around, or somebody's going to have a problem with it. So whatever.
I was internally freaking out, sitting there in the audience, just disgusted and dismayed.
I wasn't saying get rid of schools. I was saying let's actually spend the right amount of money so that the kids will get an education. It is about getting more by spending less. It really is about actually getting an education for the kids instead of having sort of a country club where they can go to while their parents work.
I've heard it described as a daycare, never as a country club.
Depends where you live, I guess. So.
He didn't have any specific plan and no real explanation on how to do it. It was just here's a number that I've come up with, make it work. I was pissed.
I honestly believe that if we had a budget that would require the school board to focus on what it's supposed to be doing, it would be a lot better for the taxpayers and it would be much better for the kids.
It was a normal turnout, so we had a meeting. The town voted for it with a vote of 20 to 13.
This is the discussion I was hoping to have. I didn't actually believe that the thing would pass at the time. I just wanted to have a big discussion and then it.
That's the most Ian Underwood thing ever.
One day someone's going to be like, so how did New Hampshire become independent? And we're going to be like, well.
Whoops.
Whoops.
We didn't think it was going to pass.
It was a motion to have the bill be heard, dude. Heard. And then like it snowballed. We didn't really, like, we just wanted to know what people thought. We didn't expect.
Here's the thing. We're laughing. But what's really important for people to understand is, if we can talk about ideas, which is what is happening, right? Even this entire series, it's every time, you know, a free stater is speaking, you'll hear the opposite side say, that idea is crazy. Like, they'll say it that way because they've never heard it, but that is where the discussion is to bring these ideas so that we can go back to the roots of why are we doing things. It's very important. It's super exciting.
It's an interesting one for impact too.
And then I'm like, well, it's kind of like the dog who caught the car. Now what do I do with it?
We were just floored and thought that we were stuck with it. You know, how are we going to do this?
We were exchanging glances like, is this for real? Is this actually happening? And
democracy!
It did. It did happen.
Yeah. How quickly democracy changes when it doesn't go the way I want. Mm.
Democracy bad when it doesn't go where I want it.
I'm constantly fascinated by my Twitter haters when I toss out a comment like, yeah, we can avoid totalitarianism once everybody just votes for the same party and we all agree on everything. We do what they say. And they're like, what are you? You're crazy. Aren't you a libertarian? I'm like, you really? This is just way over your head. I'm sorry.
Well, but, you know, it's making people think about things in strange ways. You know, if you actually, as to Ian's point, when you look at the First and the Second Amendment, the Second Amendment actually protects the First Amendment, right? Like, your right to free speech is protected by the fact that you can actually defend your right to free speech. It's like being pro-gun and anti-war. People think it sounds weird, but those two things can actually be very, for me, are very deeply held beliefs. So, you know, sometimes you got to shake people out of their mold by presenting these ideas in a shocking way.
Oh, yeah, I think if anything, like, you could, if there was a criticism or something, it would be like Ian saying, like, I kind of caught the dog, or I'm the dog that caught the car. Like, what do I do with the car now? It's like, yeah, absolutely. There's a ton of options, and you can explore all of those things. But building your budget, I mean, anybody's household, any business owner, anybody that's done these things or looked at just basic economics would never do it this way. This is the opposite way of building that up and understanding where your finances are going, where your money's being spent. And I mean, it brings me on. It's the trope, right? Of like, it's really easy to spend somebody else's money.
Yep.
And that they got hit with that really hard. But I think it's a good thing, is even just having the conversation or the optics of something like that, very, very like valuable in the narrative that you can, in the discussion that you can get in, and how you can start to move that thing in the direction you want. And or hopefully other people look at their district differently.
Justin, are you lining up the next episode? Because I can just also let folks know that, yeah. You know, Croydon historically has been this sort of piece of the school choice puzzle in New Hampshire. You know, when we talk about libertarianism, you know, sometimes we get caught up in the details of things, but some of it is just big questions. Like, shouldn't people have a choice about how their kids learn? I mean, if we're going to extort this money, then, you know, why does it have to be this one size fits all model? Why can't we try and liberalize things and allow more people more choices? You know, so Croydon actually started as pushing a lot of what we now see as the EFAs, the Education Freedom Accounts. They were heavily involved in some of the original school choice things. I'm talking like 2012-ish. And in fact, one of those ladies from the first episode, I mean, we actually helped fundraise to put her kids into a school choice school. That's and, weird. You know, and so it's so interesting to see how people's principles might shift when, you know, suddenly there's this vested interest. And I think what's difficult for people to understand when they meet us is our principles actually trump. Like, we like to be rational and logical, which means, oh, if you have a principle, actually, you got to stick to it every time. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense, because when I just do it when I feel like it, that doesn't work, right?
And that makes it hard. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough. At times, it can be really challenging. Or again, you got to read more books and figure some stuff out with yourself to, like, you know.
They don't want to read, Kevin.
Yeah, but it's an important part of what Carla's saying, which is like the praxis of what you're doing. We're like, here in New Hampshire, it's very different than ideas from, you know, whatever space you're in or wherever you're doing it. Here we are tangibly, physically, in real life, doing the thing. So it's not just an idea that you have. Our ideas go from like an idea in a basement to like it's taking place. We have an elected official. The bill's been proposed. Like whatever the thing is, the school budget's
or,
been
read. Or you're at the school board meeting or this town hall meeting.
Exactly.
And, you know, and I will stick to it. People will say, oh, this Croydon thing, you know, whoa. And I'm like, I actually think it's a fantastic example of people saying we want to try new things. Let's try this. Let's see what's going to work. And people shouldn't be that scared of sort of what seems radical or seems insane. It's like people try to cut a school budget in a small town in New Hampshire and it ended up they failed.
Well, I mean, and I'll tell you, if I didn't like those people that were doing that, what I would do is I would spend a crap ton of money on like activists and people to go hit the streets and put up like flyers and banners and really let people know that there's some scary guys around. But that's just what I would do if I didn't like them. Yeah. So.
I'm pretty sure that's what they did.
Before we get into that,
if only I had their money.
Robert Daniel brings up a really good point. The most important question, which no libertarian ever asks, is how much money have you raised voluntarily to support your school?
Oh, sure. Yeah. None of those.
I remember back in the day, like even when I was in school, not that long ago, we had to fundraise for sports.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, man. A lot of schools still do that in New Hampshire. I don't know if they changed that since I was coaching football, but yeah, there were schools that had to, like, you know, some schools provided everything. Some kids had to go out and, you know, find a way to do it. Like, and again, coaches and staff set up a lot of those programs to help those kids. But yeah, that was a thing where you had to like pay to play, or, you know, a couple hundred bucks for, you know, your helmet and shoulder pads for the season or something like that. Yeah. Common.
So I had to walk to school and I had to carry cupcakes.
Ooh, that's brutal. I'm kidding.
All right. Well,
the meeting that was held on Saturday is a legally binding meeting. Your budget right now is $800,000.
Croydon, like a handful of small communities in New Hampshire, has really been targeted by Free State Project members.
They've already been successful in eliminating our police department.
Now to a bizarre story out of New Hampshire. A police chief there in a small town strips down to his underwear at a town meeting after the select board voted to disband his one-man department.
Without his clothes...
This is what happens if you do fire them or take away their budget. They get naked and run through the streets.
I mean, the guy did not have to take his keys.
He walked out of town hall.
He did that voluntarily. He like lost his temper and did a really strange thing. And so this is not on us.
No, this guy's whacked out.
And into a snowstorm.
What was that like?
Devastating.
They move into these small, rural, sleepy towns and try to take over.
We all live in Manchester. Right. I'm sorry.
Right.
These episodes really got me going because I worked in education, because I work with kids. I have so many zingers.
Wait until we take over Manchester.
I'm pro Pinardville secession. So, you know, there we go. We're almost there.
The extreme position and the extreme cut did surprise me.
And what do we judge as a success or a failure? Those aren't numbers, those are kids.
I judge whether you can read or not, which apparently you cannot. 51%, according to one of our viewers tonight, is saying fourth grade level, 51% of fourth graders are not reading proficiently in New Hampshire. And we still have some of the best schools in the nation.
Yeah, we do objectively have like above average schools and all of that stuff. If you really want something there, Olga, you should look up Baltimore high school spending and then look up Baltimore high school average GPA and be amazed at the $35,000 for a 0.1, not a 1.0, a 0.1 GPA. Wow. We should do more of that. That's what they're arguing
defund
for.
Defund it. We should do that. To the point where for free it's on the up internet. To parents to pay to educate their kids.
Is your kid a failure because of their test scores? Do you all have kids?
What was that lady's name? Do you know?
We don't have kids in the school.
I don't have kids. Yeah.
You don't have to like it, but this is how it works.
A lot of the attacks on public education overall, we see come from people who either don't have kids in school or have already moved to religious, private, or homeschool options. So it's never a surprise to us that the folks who are most vocally calling to dismantle public education, they've already opted out of it.
People that don't have kids, they're just missing see their struggles or their successes. Like, she doesn't get that piece. So I feel like there is a disconnect there, whether she wants to admit that or not.
I just came from my house.
And she cares more about your kid reading and writing than apparently you do. Like, what am I misunderstanding the argument here? But was the argument there, even though you're paying and you don't get any benefit, you should shut up and just take it? Was that correct?
Yes, that is the sentiment that I've gathered in, like, online, talking to a lot of people that disagreed with this decision, or again with us on anything. Every kid should be in public school. Every one size fits all. It's the only way. And if you don't like it, you should pay for that school and then send your kid to another school on top of it that you pay for out of your pocket.
So almost like a concept people understand is double jeopardy, like in the legal system.
Yep.
I mean, of course, that's gone out the window now too, but it is sort of like you're punishing people twice.
Correct. That is a good way and because it's again, we frame the social contract differently than they do. They believe you owe everybody else that money. And it's for the kids. And it's, again, I think we need to start using that framing device. Everything's for the kids, right? Everything's for somebody else. I want nothing out of this, even though maybe I'm a teacher and my salary is benefit. We'll leave that out. It's the kids, the kids, the kids. And then if I can get a bunch of people that may not live in Croydon to show up at a school board meeting, because there's literally more people than at this meeting here than there are that would ever go to a school board meeting.
Where they came from. I was very surprised. I forgot to ask Jody, but I mean, I think she probably knew most of the people there.
Oh, I have no doubt. But again, it's like if I had a campaign to go door knocking and I had time to sit down in everybody's living room and explain how the budget's built and do that way, maybe I would have more success in having them having cut the budget in half. If I told everybody they hate kids, they don't have kids, they shouldn't have a say, then I could convince them of that too. It just depends on who did that work.
Right.
They made an economical decision based on like data and facts. Someone screamed really loud about the kids. The people that scream about kids win every time. It's what you're making the emotional appeal and it's what works. That's what I've seen be effective.
It's for the children, as we call it.
Yep, it's effective. If nothing else, it's effective. and what ends up happening is like you get a militant girl in a green jacket yelling at you on a microphone about how your math doesn't work because you don't have kids. So, which doesn't make sense, but hey, there you go.
Because I cannot hear anything over the Zoom call except for Jody interrupting everyone else trying to speak.
The people at the meeting who voted against the $800,000 budget were up in arms. You are not doing that to my kids.
I love this community, but it's really a black eye and a bruise on the ass when we do this.
I just have so many concerns as a parent that it feels that it wasn't done in good faith.
Let's not try to jump to conclusions. I mean, I guess
we're jumping into this. You're jumping.
Choose to jump into this. I'm embracing it as an opportunity.
We and, could you know, do I a just want to give
shading.
A shout out.
They are budgeted at the Newport rate.
Because that is not an easy situation to be in. When you're behind a table at a public hearing and there's 40, 50 people in the room and they're all yelling at you. And I think for her to actually candidly, and I was talking to her through this whole process, and it was actually really hard for them They've been upstanding community members in that community for a long time. They feed a lot of people in that town. They take care of people when they are down on their luck. They run a lot of community stuff. I mean, these are all people who are serving on different parts of the town, you know, and she said that was really, really, really hard for her. So for her to be able to say the words, you know, let's embrace this as an opportunity, I think really encapsulates a lot of the energy and sort of the way we should and are coming to a lot of these things is, hey, guys, we actually all agree nothing is working. So instead of just going, no, I don't know how to change, just go, here's an opportunity. If we all sit together, instead of just yelling and calling each other names, maybe we could solve some problems. Like now we're just veering between extreme to extreme. 50%, 110%, you know, like it's like stupid. We could be doing so much better.
Well, and a fascinating part of it is they're angry at the people that don't have any skin in the game while they themselves are benefiting or have skin in the game. You let the person that's making the objective decision be that person to make an objective decision. 1 + 1 doesn't add up to 3 just because you don't have children. That these things are irrelevant. But what works is screaming the loudest about the emotional claim, which is you're going to hurt the kids. And then you get angry dads that show up to school meetings where clearly the dude in the Tigers football sweatshirt has never gone to a school board meeting. That guy's not a regular. I don't need to drive to Croydon to look for him. But if you tell him to show up because you're going to hurt his kids, that dad shows up every time. That's what this is. And this lady isn't that we interrupted. You can rewind it. I don't want to take a second away from Amanda Leslie here, admitting that the budget was over what they thought, and then they increased it.
Into this, I'm embracing it as an opportunity.
We could do a little bit of shaving. They are budgeted at the Newport rate because Newport has always served as our anchor school. And part of the heightened concern this year is that Newport raised its rate kind of notably. So they are $18,000 and change per kid annually. But there is quite a handful of Croydon students who go to the Montessori school, for example, and that is under $10,000.
She just made a great case for Ian Underwood.
Thank you. She doesn't. It's what I'm saying is they don't even understand on such a fundamental concept that they will say in an NBC documentary, I don't understand math. You need more money for school. If you can't even do the math of this lady, then you shouldn't have a say in the budget of a school because you can't do math.
Well, I think she can do math. She's saying that actually the budget is pretty well padded and that there's a lot that can be shaved off.
Maybe she's really good at math and just really selfish and narcissistic. I give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she's dumb.
She is an English teacher, not a math teacher.
Bro, I taught history. I can still add some years up.
And this is at all feasible. It's feasible because the state says it's feasible. It's feasible because it's being done by other places. There are states that spend $7,000 per student, and they get the same test scores as New Hampshire.
So I think our numbers might be better if we didn't throw a friggin' monkey wrench into our school system every few years and then scramble around trying to pick up the pieces. We did this 4 years ago, and it took
budget. You know how you can solve that problem? Privatize schools and let them compete, because then you have a CEO who knows how to run a school, who's running a school, and who has a deliverable, which is my kid needs to be educated when they get out of here. We could probably take in every town, we could create scholarships for the people who aren't prepared to pay for their child to go to a school. And please also remember, if every parent just paid their own way, you would only be on the hook for how long are kids in school? 10 years, 12 years, whatever it is. Now, every single taxpayer is on the hook for their lifetime. It's a Ponzi scheme. Like, wouldn't you rather pay for 12 years and then keep your money for the other, I don't know, 60 years you're going to be alive? I would.
But, oh, yeah. And would it, again, would it create problems and changes? Not even problems, just changes that have to be addressed? Of course, everywhere it would. But it's one of those things of, if you want your kid to go to a progressive school that teaches a lot of these things that some free staters and some libertarians are against, then create that school and go there. If you want to create an Austrian economics school for elementary through 12, where the kids are hyper-focused on, like, you know, cryptocurrency, the tech industry, like blockchain stuff, and they're learning about Mises, Rothbard, create that school and let your kid have the option to go there. Like, what about this doesn't appeal to anybody?
And, you know, like, we're different. And I do think it's good to, like, also intermingle and, you know, being slightly well-rounded and all of that.
That's the best thing, yes.
But you know, there's so much opportunity here. And I think it's so important also for teachers and maybe people who watch these kind of things to be like, instead of like move from the sounds insane bubble to the, well, hey, maybe like actually I could work less hours, get paid about the same, have a lot more freedom on my curriculum. Like, I feel like there's a lot of opportunity actually for true educators. And there are a lot of teachers who do actually, they love their students. We're ragging a little on, you know, the moms here and stuff, but everyone's actually coming with best interests, right? It's just that people aren't looking at aligned incentives. And the incentives are incorrectly aligned when you get to vote for your own salary increase.
And I mean, if let's say you did slash the budget, you know, what they could have done at a town meeting is say, well, I guess everybody else can voluntarily chip in more money so that we still have what we want. But nobody did that. They just screamed.
And the bake sales.
Right. But even then, you just take it out of your own checking account. Write a check to the school district in the government that you believe in so much. And I'm sure that that'll go dollar for dollar to a kid. Or you can yell, feel like you did your part because of the social contract. You paid your taxes. Teach my kids stuff. And don't make me come back to the school board meeting. I want to stay home and watch TV. And that's really, none of these people would lift a finger to do it. They just kind of automatically, this is what should happen. Kind of normie sheep attitude. And then you hit them with a cattle prod or a 50%, 54% budget cut of a cattle prod. And then you have people that start to wake up and look at stuff. And that's what I say is that married up with like a great propaganda machine and flyers and stuff is, you know,
pamphlets.
Well, a pamphlet started the thing. That's one pamphlet caused all this. Imagine if we spent money on like they spent to fight the narrative here instead of just literally one pamphlet. Like, amazing.
I also wonder how many of these parents would support spending $18,000 a year per student if they had to pay it.
It's a fascinating thing. And again, they're using a budget for Newport. The kids that are in elementary through middle school do not get bussed out of district, but the budget is determined using the $18,000 Newport number using those kids. So like, you're just taking the highest number possible, which to me would look at it as you're giving yourself the highest budget possible from which you would pay, I don't know, say like a teacher and a clerk out of, you know, like that type of thing is how I look at something like this. And I'm like, man, like it there's a dishonesty to the whole thing. I wish some of the parents in the town looked into it like we looked into it, but I don't expect that level of
it's
like
gonna come. This is you know, again, this is the first salvo. The discussions are being had. A lot of people are gonna look much more carefully at the numbers.
It'll be interesting when you play the video
projected at the schools where they actually do attend school. That would cut the budget by at least $100,000, $150,000. And so we could have maintained a budget on par with what we were operating at this past year.
It's one thing to maybe alter your budget. It's a whole different thing to decimate it completely. And I'm done.
No, if you pause it, I did the math in my brain, but I'm not good at math. That about $127,000, if you took the difference between Newport and Croydon and you took elementary students through middle school students at about 80 students, that is almost about $150,000. And I bet you that's exactly what it is. Interesting.
Yep.
I have notes.
My children are the guinea pigs now.
Several years ago, We did try to trim off some of that extra, and it was a disaster because there were, I think, some other kids who ended up coming in, or there were unexpected costs, and we ended up with a deficit.
We do care about the kids. We understand these things. We do, and we're going to try our best. I am ashamed, I'm embarrassed by this irresponsible and reckless budget cut that was made by your husband.
It's not me, the town voted for it. People keep saying, I did this.
Make I think the emotional
it's really play. Important to recognize that the Free State Project exists because theirs is a minority view, that they formed because their founder recognized that spread out across the country, they could not achieve their goals because they were not widely accepted, that they could only try to advance their agenda if they congregated in one place. And oh, lucky us, they chose New Hampshire.
I know she said unlucky, but she meant lucky.
Yeah. I can't believe that she doesn't believe in minority viewpoints or minorities. That's a shocking claim to make in a documentary.
I just get frustrated that she understands the case for libertarian concentration better than a lot of libertarians do.
That's a really good point, Justin.
That's a great, I hadn't even thought of it that way. I couldn't get past I don't respect minority viewpoints. I'm still thinking about that one because I'm like, this lady, I would love to get you live in front of a, meet me in like Brooklyn or Dorchester and talk about how you don't like minority viewpoints. I'd be so fascinated.
That was one that definitely shocked me. That's one that came up in some of my questions with NBC. And I'm just surprised that people don't see the hypocrisy there, right? It's interesting. And also, you know, let's just talk a little bit about the fact that historically we know there have been lots of movements, actual mass migration movements, to go to a place for values. This is not something that's new. It might seem a little weird for, you know, the 2020s, but I mean, Elon Musk's trying to go to Mars. It's the same thing on a little bit of a grander scale, but it's the same thing. Why can't we? And here's the other thing. As long as we're good neighbors, it's like, what's the big whoop? Why wouldn't you want people who kind of think the same way together? It makes a lot of just life easier, right? So there are a lot of positives to bandying together as well, especially during times like COVID mania.
And I mean, one thing that this did do, and I mean, I know like talking on Discord and voice chats and tons of people from all over the world, and the people that caught this episode or saw it was like, you know, California people or people from states that have like a big local government where it's really hard to do something at a local level is they can't fathom something like this happening because the mechanisms to achieve that, or even again, it's not 20 free staters voted on this and 13 natives disagreed. That's 20 natives supported this. Like, let's not pretend that there's 5,000 free staters in Croydon. It's a handful of
eight? No, it's six.
It's six? Thank you. Yeah. Okay.
No, it's 6,000.
Oh, yeah. yeah, right. We all live in Croydon. Is that, I missed the boat. Did you guys all leave? Like, what the heck? I'm like, it's just not the case. So that means that there is local support for these things. That means that the Free State Project isn't this fringe idea out of left field. I understand something like this, bit of a shot fired, bit of a big bite to take. All maybe it is, but again, that Ian didn't pass this. Ian
right,
didn't,
and also Ian, by his own words, was like, "Yeah, I was kind of
threw it out there,
experimenting. I was trying something, and it worked."
The local people used the democracy to do a democracy, and you didn't like it. That's a part of what it is. So for a lot of libertarians watching or people that are looking at New Hampshire and wondering about your activism and what you're doing in the state you're in, it might feel ineffective. It might feel like you're by yourself trying to do a thing. And I'm sure that for that while, Jody felt alone in that meeting, having to sit there and get yelled at by people for a while. But if you want to have an impact, if you want to be tangible in your activism or your lifestyle, this is the place to do it. They're making documentaries about what we're doing. That is to me, a thing you can look at and say, maybe this was an overall loss, or maybe it just got the ball rolling and that's great, but it didn't achieve what we wanted. At the very least, we're doing something that is almost impossible in every other state that you're in. And concentration is an effective strategy. They're admitting that this works.
So it's not that it's impossible in every other state. And I think a lot of people take this for granted. It's a lot of libertarians across the country, across the world, think the only way they can have an impact is getting elected, getting into the legislature, and, like, you know, being that proud Ron Paul libertarian that, like, blowvates and filibusters bills. But some of the most effective activism that happens isn't by elected individuals. It's people like Ian who just go to their town meetings and propose something. Because, like you said, it wasn't 20 free staters that voted for that. It was 20 normal people who, like, well, that's not a terrible idea.
We are normal people too.
That's exactly what that is. And that's what the mechanism to make something like that happen is: either it's entirely controlled by us and we do it, or locals do it. So be a good neighbor and talk to your neighbor at what you're doing. And you might have 20 of them that vote for what you're looking for, or elect and rep, or whatever it is locally on any level. But, like, there's an effectiveness here that it's definitely going to make people mad if they don't agree with you, or if they're statists, or if they're benefiting from that system. But, like, that's the effect. That's the impact I want to have. I wouldn't want to be ineffective. If I lived in Tennessee or Florida or Hawaii, I'd just throw myself in the volcano, because at some point it'd be like, I'm the only one doing anything. This is ridiculous.
Right. But here, Olga just emphasized the point, you know, how important it is to work with your neighbors and be good neighbors. And I think that that is built into the model, because, you know, at this town hall meeting, you know, this budget meeting, let's talk about that. It's a actual meeting that all the districts in New Hampshire do. It's usually in March. It's usually the last blizzard. Everyone's like, do we cancel? Do we do it? You know, like, there's a whole town hall tradition around the whole thing. And it's beautiful because people show up and they sit in a room for a day fighting line item by line item on budget stuff. And that cannot happen in another state. I mean, when I learned about this tradition in New Hampshire, I was like, nah, I mean, not really, like, the real budget, like, you can sit there and yell at people about it. I was like, what? That's amazing. So if you want to get involved, get involved. And if the takeaway from the Croydon thing is, oh, people are going to show up, I will tell you this: when people start showing up, we have better, more persuasive, more truthful arguments for the approaches we're taking. And if people show up, I can persuade them. And I believe all of us can, because I think we are on the right track. So get involved, come out, come to these things, because if people do, we're going to win.
Yeah, it's a long game, too.
And that was one of the claims that they made in Croydon. Two free staters made this happen. It's like, nope, one made a proposal, and the rest was the town that voted for it.
One of the things I wanted to accomplish, and I think I actually have, is that from now on, nobody is ever going to go, it doesn't matter if I go to the town or district meeting.
That's for sure.
Everybody is going to go to every meeting from now on.
We all are so busy.
I wonder if they are.
I would find it to be the greatest thing in the world if nobody showed up next year and cut the budget again.
Yeah. You should. If for nothing else, to do that.
Oh, in Croydon, really? They 100% should do that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It's kind of a, I mean, I would do it just to troll them. But,
yeah. And it's easy to become complacent, but I think this showed that you can't trust necessarily that the people who are elected or appointed are going to operate in good faith.
A lot of the people that attended our meeting have just gotten used to sitting back and letting a small group of people kind of take care of things until this.
This isn't just about the money, because academic achievement is not very good right now.
I was never happy that we forced this thing on the town and that we had to do something quickly to make it work. I would much rather have had a discussion, except sometimes you have to shock people to make things happen.
What I'm saying is, if somebody out here can find something that compels the board to put it to a new vote, we will absolutely do so, because we would be compelled to do so.
So a demand by the people, considering that there is more than twice as many people here tonight as attended on Saturday. I attended compelling evidence.
These are family members who are engaged, who go back 3, 4, 5 generations in New Hampshire and the Croydon area.
Deceiving, very deceiving, all of this.
They care about their whole community.
This amount is just so low.
It's always sad when you have communities have to come together to respond to a tragedy or an effort to undermine.
Oh my God! Did a coal mine collapse? I'm so confused, Zandra. Like, what is up with the drama?
It's the code. That's like I said. It's just simply make the emotional claim. You don't have to have any. There's nothing tangible. She just said. She said a bunch of doomer words, right. And then add on. I care about the kids. They hate the kids, and you will get a guy. And again, none of these people showed up to when they're voting. They show up because they got mailers. They had signs put in the streets. Who paid for those? Zandra, can you come on the podcast to talk to us? Again, like, how did these things happen? It's
open
a mystery.
Open. Yeah,
for real. Like, because even me, a mouth breather, she wouldn't want to answer these questions publicly. She'll never come on here.
Oh, she won't let me on her open to the public Zoom calls.
It's almost like they don't want you to see what's going on and why all these parents showed up out of the blue. It's these people don't pay attention. Something like this happens. They're told to show up. They hear somebody making the emotional claim. And then they're there, and that's all that this is. And that's right. If we can weather that storm, like you said, Carla, and explain ourselves, we'll win that battle. But the initial you have to have a bulwark against that emotional claim every time. Every Twitter reply you read from now on, just think in your head: this person just making that emotional claim to seem like they get a W? That's what they're doing. Every time.
I tried to join a Granite State Progress Zoom call once, and I had my own name in the bio on the Zoom, and I sat there for 45 minutes in the lobby. They would not let me in. I X'd out, changed my name in Zoom to Jim in Manchester, they, them, and got in immediately.
Yeah. Perfect. Again, you included the emotional claim.
We were at the Quill and we wanted to get in, and it was the time Zandra actually messaged me to say, oh, I hear you're saying I won't let you in. And I was like, okay, so let me in tonight. And then we tried from the Quill, so I had witnesses, and we tried under my name and they wouldn't let me in. Then we tried with Queen Quill and they wouldn't let me in. And I was just like, and I emailed her, and I have the email so I can prove it if I have to. It's like, why won't you talk to us? And I will tell you why, because she told me why after one of those Granite State Progress meetings. I'm an immigrant from South Africa, Lily Tang, like all these immigrants were just saying, hey, we grew up in totalitarian regimes. We know what it looks like, and we should be guarding against this. When you start saying, oh, I think we should put our neighbors in concentration camps because they won't take a medical thing I think they should take, that's like lunacy, and that is what they were arguing. So we were all talking about the reasons why we are libertarian or liberty forward, and she was like, oh no, that's way too persuasive, I'm not gonna let you talk again. And it's like, that is how I know the more we can get in front of people and talk to them, and that also means, you know, being nice, dropping the message in a personable way, you know, and we could probably work on that a little.
I would never talk to anybody like I am now. I'm secretly very nice, even if I have a lot of contempt or anger toward you and your worldview. I maintain a level of nice.
Yeah, and honestly, even amongst all of ourselves, I think we lose sight of that a little bit, you know. Sorry, I just saw a comment drop on the RFK stuff. So, you know, RFK is going to be coming to Porkfest for folks who are watching, and that's very exciting. But people are like, oh, we want to have a gun event right next to his non-gun event. And I'm like, let's make it work in like a, let's all dialogue, folks, you know. Anyway, that's an aside.
I won't explain it then. You're not going to believe me.
And they've just been targeted by this small group of radicals.
You think I'm a politician, but I'm not.
In New Hampshire, once a budget is passed, it's really set in stone. It's really hard to overturn. So there is an obscure law that says if you want to overturn a budget, you can petition to have a special meeting.
They started an organization called Stand Up for Croydon Students. And they got a lot of funding from people, from Granite State Progress and from Teachers Union, the NEA.
So the next step is at that special meeting, we had to have 50% of those registered voters attend and vote. And we have never, even in presidential elections, never had that many people come out and vote.
So it's how much really money amazing. Did they spend to make that happen? That's not grassroots. That's not natural. You're telling me for the most important election in the country, you can't get that many people to come out, but you got them to come out for a school board meeting.
What if they just gave come that on, money man. To the school?
Thank you. Right? Bro, all day. No one will. It's easier to spend your money, though.
And we should say, actually, I mean, for what it's worth, my understanding is actually that this whole second meeting was not actually legally convened, and that the AG was like, yeah, that's an archaic rule, and it could have been, but they couldn't re-register anyone who wasn't on the original. It's very nuanced. I know you nerds want the real details, but I just know that there was something a little fishy. And everyone, including Jody and the Croydon, you know, elected officials, everyone was like, look, everyone's mad. Let's just let this happen. So there was actually a technical legal thing, which had we decided to, we could have fundraised and really knocked their socks off and probably won legally. And it was decided not to do that. So, you know, we should get points for that too, by the way.
I wonder what a billboard up there costs of that lady's face saying, we could have shaved the budget by $150,000 during the next budget meeting. Quite a bit cost.
I don't know what a billboard costs, but a meme is free.
Ha.
I got a sheet of plywood and a hammer, bro. So.
Amazing to see everybody here and just to see the turnout. We're here to vote on this money and to restore this budget to save our public school system.
The intention of our petition was to restore the originally proposed budget of $1,705,496.
It's going to be a ballot vote.
If you are supporting the $1.7 million budget, you put the yes in the box.
If you're opposed to it, you're putting the no vote.
We had a line of, I mean, probably 75 people at any given time out the door waiting to check in.
The final vote is, was 377 yes. Okay. And two no's. So.
Everyone who was against it as a no, it was told to just stay home, right? Because it was a numbers game to be like, can you get to whatever the threshold quorum number was? Yeah. Right. And so when people see this result and they think 377 to 2, you have to actually look at how many people can vote in Croydon. And then you go, oh, actually, this was more like a 58-42 vote, yeah. Or, it was 60-40. I don't actually know what that delta is, but it's not 377 to 2 for whoever can do the math.
Right.
And it seems like two people changed their minds day of.
Yeah, or it was literally knows. Maybe like Jody was there.
And
he,
yeah, Jody and Ian maybe is another option. But again, it's like I would just be so interested. And I know Zandra's probably texting me right now with that information about how much they spent. But I'm fascinated with what it would take to get that many people motivated, up, out, involved, active. Like that's even for us, that's great numbers. Can I spend that and get that many voters out for what I want? I don't know. And if they all support it naturally, that's great. They should pay more attention maybe to what's going on and not let people that are benefiting from the system be the ones that are dictating the budget from the system. And like, these are things they should be looking at all the time. So hopefully I don't know.
We'll see. These people.
I felt like my faith in humanity was restored.
I literally left the meeting
and, you know, had my arm hanging out the window waving to all faith in humanity. Like the hubris of like the things they're saying is just so bananas to me. It's like, wow. You cut a budget. Sometimes you have to cut a budget. It happens.
Ready? But you're a high IQ person trying to rationalize with a low IQ person. Literally, this is it. And I'll say it again. Just make the emotional claim. That's it. Just that. This, my faith in humanity, because in this small rural New Hampshire town, a budget which I'll admit was overinflated to begin with was reduced, then you're just making an emotional claim with no tangible facts. But look at the people clapping. Look at that guy screaming and cheering for the kids. Like the last time I saw a guy like that that was screaming and cheering for kids, his bail was dropped.
Less people to read.
He got off a list he was on. So now he's cheering for kids. Like, I don't know what motivates him, but come on, man. Like, it just seems like a silly, and that's what it is. It's the over the top emotional claim with very little backing it up. And it sounds bad because we want to help the kids. No one wants to hurt kids, bro. Like, no one's pro landmine, right? Like, so when you say you're against landmines, that's not a great thing. Like, it's frustrating for me to watch, man. It's really, I worked with these people. It's infuriating.
I mean, I'm pro landmines on my own property.
I can't even answer that question. I don't have a stance.
Of my neighbors as I went by, I just felt so much pride.
It's a Norm McDonald.
We made a statement beyond Croydon to the region, the state, the country, that Free Staters do not rule. And that we care about our kids. We care about the value of public education to the greater good of the community.
Majority rule is majority rule.
There it is, an emotional claim.
That would be so good, so they get their budget.
It looked like the whole town showed up and it was a landslide and absolutely everybody except those two people were in favor of the $1.7 million budget. But no, 40% of the voters stayed home.
The people that it's worse for are the kids. You know, who are going to go through another year of completely substandard education. You know,
and we're spending too much money on it.
The taxpayers will get over it. The kids won't.
Something historical happened today, actually, and I'm going to get so emotional. We came together as a community to support our kids and our parents, and we were able to restore our budget and to maintain our current school choice model so our kids don't have to change schools.
That was
in the long run.
She brought the thing out in the open.
Oh, right. So now I wanted to have that discussion about the school. We didn't have it, but I think we will have it. We'll have to have it.
I noticed that you had resigned from your seat. Mm-hmm. And can I ask what happened? What was that decision about? Was it about this school?
It was related to it. I don't know what to say. I didn't feel motivated at all to do anything for the town. I can't propose anything at this point because nobody will hear it. The first thing that will happen is that, well, he's just a Free Stater.
They made it personal. They made it about Jody and Ian Underwood being Free Staters, and then it was a Free State project that organized this whole thing, and they want to shut down schools and the whole school system and get rid of all government. And that's just not true about the Free State project.
Her Free State agenda took priority over being on the school board and educating the kids in our town.
Angie, what is a Free Stater?
I would say a threat, where before I would have said, oh, it's somebody who wants less government control. They want to kind of keep to themselves and, you know, no big deal, just leave them alone. But now they've tried to force their beliefs on everyone else and tried to take things away from our community and our kids, and something that we've all been happy to contribute to over the years. So I would say they're a threat.
Granite Staters are standing up to oppose it, but we need to be more vocal and we need to show up in more ways to make sure that this does not become our future.
I identify as a threat.
But again, it's where I say is like, use that. It's all that it is, man. It's once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's literally, you go back and rewatch the episode for anybody listening and just put that frame in your head of everything they're saying is an emotional claim that if you put it on paper, wouldn't add up or make sense. They'll admit to it even, but they have to continue making the moral emotional claim, because that's what'll get a dad to come to the school board meeting. That'll make someone pay attention to the sign that your organization has printed and put on the side of the road. And then again, frame it as like 373-2, and fine, you're going to get somebody to agree and believe you. And yeah, you're right. The taxpayers will eventually forget, but the kids are the ones at the end of the day that are not going to benefit.
The taxpayers are probably going to forget by the next meeting.
They do. Well, they're not there. Yeah.
I you know, if people are looking for projects to fund and whatever, I honestly, I think a great thing to do this year would be when the tax bill drops, maybe around Christmas time, doesn't it? They usually wait till right after Christmas so that you don't freak out when you are buying presents. And that's also a quaint New Hampshire tradition that you learn the hard way, like your first heating bill. Anyway, is to actually send a mailer or to send something out basically saying, hey, you could have been X amount richer. I think one of the bad arguments or one of the unexploited areas that we do need to talk more about, and where budgets are going to become more sexy and more interesting, is people are getting poorer because they're stealing more and more of our money. You know, these wars are expensive, printing this much money to give people free cheese in the mousetrap. You know, it's a lot. And so as we become poorer, we're not going to be able to afford. This is kind of like peak statism, because people can't afford to be paying double what your kid could be getting in a private school.
Well, and right. And especially if you're like one of those two ladies that was so angry, like you have a boat, you have a $55,000 boat right here. Like, you know, you be careful what you put on the internet. It's just weirdos. But like, you don't paint a great picture of yourself when people dig into those things and those types of conversations, like who is benefiting, who's making these decisions. And, you know, and a big thing for me with this whole thing was like, if you're not paying attention to what's going on, you can't really get that mad about it. If you do show up, like at least pay attention to what you should be getting mad about. Don't listen to like that emotional claim. Somebody's saying that thing. At least pay attention to like, what are they actually saying? What's actually happening?
Right. And maybe dad with the sweatshirt. I forget what was on his sweatshirt.
Tigers football.
Tiger's dad, right? Like maybe this year he's all like, hey, it's for the children, not mad. But maybe he goes home and he's like, you know, I should crunch these numbers a little bit and then be like, wait a second. Oh, I can't actually take my kids on a vacation this year because I don't have enough money because my property taxes went up. One of those ladies did say, rather significantly, because the prices went up in Newport substantially, I think was her word.
Yeah.
So,
they did, if I remember, they went up a lot in Newport.
Yeah. I hold out faith that the average Granite Stater, when presented with truthful facts in a way that they can understand, will side with Free Staters.
I wonder if a case could be made to like voters in towns like Newport, like these wealthier towns, that the wealthier property owners in those towns vote to increase their own taxes because they want to spend more on their school programs, to have nicer programs, nicer sports programs, nicer facilities for their kids. If a case can be made to them, it's like, hey, when you do this, you screw over the taxpayers in these smaller towns that are surrounding you because you're the anchor for their budgets. And it ends up really hurting the people who aren't as well off as you.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this Claremont case, you know, it's back in the courts. I'm trying to follow it, but it's gotten so nuanced with the advocacy fees and the, like, it's, we should do a whole show on it, maybe, you know, in the fall or something. It's hard to understand. In some ways, we might be better served almost overhauling the whole way it's priced and I think it used to be better when it was so immediate that your property price was that town, because then everyone knew, right?
Right. Right. I know. I remember that. Yeah.
Well, Olga points out that Ed and Jody are speaking at Porkfest, and you want to come ask tough questions, hear their logic, hear their arguments for yourself. It's a great time to do so. It's a great time to get your visit into New Hampshire. Tickets are getting close to sold out, so make sure to go check out porkfest.com and get your tickets ASAP. I mean, if you're not here, there's no really better time to visit, no better time to plan your first trip to New Hampshire, meet your future neighbors. If you need help get the logistics in mind, just head over to fsp.org/visitnewhampshire. And Chris and Rebecca will help you get that squared away. Make sure you can get that visit on the books. And while you're here, get a couple days on the either side of Porkfest to explore the state, see the beautiful lakes region, head out to the Upper Valley, maybe go to a potluck at Bardo Farm, meet your future neighbors. It's all on the calendar. You can burn yourself out like Kevin trying to do it all.
It is, even right now. Like the spring is here. Everybody's outside. People are doing their backyard housewarmings, whatever it is. Like I had a busy weekend doing Free State stuff all weekend. Oh yeah, it's ramping up now with the weather changing. So go for it. Try it.
And make sure to join Kevin's Discord.
Oh yeah, join the Discord. A ton of people just jumped in there, so it is more lively than it's ever been. And a ton of people right now organizing for Porkfest, tent sites, tickets, food, activities, all this different stuff. There is a Discord site, but there's a ton of other stuff going on. Like Dennis and everybody says, there's thousands of things every day. And same, I was late to the show tonight by a few minutes. I was over at like a parents planning meeting for a bunch of kids stuff, food. So I'm getting ready. I'm getting Porkfest anxiety. I think that's what I'm going to do up until like the few days before I leave. Then I'm going to have like, all right, I need to get to Porkfest like an addict or something.
I'm too scared to look at my schedule. I just keep getting voluntold.
Yeah,
you did hear, for anyone who's watching who does not know, I mean, we are talking Larry Elders is coming from California. We have Tulsi Gabbard. We have RFK. We have Vivek Ramaswamy. I mean, all these people are coming to Porkfest because they understand, unlike some of our neighbors, that Free Staters and what we are trying to do here is the best game in town. It is where the ideas are. It is where people who are honest and trying to actually solve problems who aren't part of the uni party are coming to party.
Or at least to court us, at the very least, get their name out there. I think I'm super fascinated with it. I've stayed out of the drama. I will not participate in the drama. But at the very least, I do think that there's an aspect of it that's interesting. Like the dynamic is changing, and that's only good for us in that way.
Yeah, come kiss my ring,
And if you want to support what we're doing, help us with this cause and future endeavors, you can always go over to fsp.org/give, set up a one-time or recurring donation. And remember, the Free State Project is a 501c3 charitable nonprofit, which means your money doesn't go to Uncle Sam, and you get to tell how it's spent, which in far better ways than the government would. Carla, Kevin, anything else?
No, I think I said it all.
Yeah, that was it. No more school or kid meetings. I get too
Until
angry.
Next time, everybody, stay free.
Yeah, I don't believe in destiny. I just do what's best for me. Don't listen to my enemies. They're just full of jealousy. Yeah, this legacy. You gon' see what's left of me. Gonna see success in me. You ain't seen the rest. I just wanna be the best at what I know. Better than the rest, just watch me grow. Put me to the test and watch me go. This is my quest, I'ma make it known. They call me obsessed.